What if Martin Luther King Jr. had never told us about his dream? August 28, 1963, over 200,000 people gathered before the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. It was a very hot day. And there were many speakers that day. It had been a long day. And the crowd was tired. The crowd was restless. By the time Martin Luther King, the last speaker, got up to speak. And Dr. King read from a prepared text, a speech that was blandly titled, "Normalcy Never Again." And as he neared the end of that speech, a voice cried out. It was Mahalia Jackson. "Tell them about the dream, Martin. Tell them about the dream." And Martin Luther King left his prepared text. And he began to preach. Preach as a prophet, prophesying about American redemption. Martin Luther King began to speak boldly. And he told us about the dream. "I have a dream that one day," and with poetic and rhythmic cadence, he began to paint a vision right before our eyes, speaking boldly of a vision of an America that one day would live up to and live out truly the very ideals that we claim we are about. And we could see his vision, speaking boldly. If there was ever any doubt, that day we knew for certain. Words have tremendous power. Words can transform a people. Words can change the course of history. What if Martin Luther King had never told us about the dream, never spoken boldly on that day? A leading quality in the Spirit-led Church of Acts is the quality of speaking boldly. This summer we've been following through this amazing story of the book of Acts. It's a story of a Spirit-driven church sweeping through the Roman Empire within a generation. And now we come to the end. Except it's not an end. There is no ending. The way Luke stops recording this never-ending story is by leaving out an ending on purpose. Boldly and without hindrance, Paul preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, the end. But wait, that's not an ending. There must be more. And oh yes, indeed, there is so much more. Last Sunday I mentioned that Luke doesn't tell us what happened to Paul in Rome. Most scholars believe that Paul met his end, executed in Nero's persecution of the Christians around 64 AD. But Luke doesn't tell us that. Why not? It would make a fitting ending. But what ending? Let it be known throughout the world. This story began with one fragile congregation of about 120 lying low and quiet in an upper room in Jerusalem. And it has become an international movement to the point that Paul, Saul of Tarsus, is preaching in Rome, boldly and without hindrance. A mere 30 years after they crucified Jesus. That's a little ironic, don't you think? And the story has no ending. Completing several mission journeys through the empire, planting church outposts along the way, and getting closer to Rome each time, Paul is arrested one last time. He appeals to the emperor, which is his right as a Roman citizen, and Paul finally then gets his ticket punched to go to Rome and has quite an adventure just getting there. But once there, he's kept under house arrest, awaiting a hearing. And people are streaming to his place, morning to night, and Paul is teaching about Jesus and teaching about the kingdom, not the kingdom of Rome, the kingdom of God. And so this amazing story simply stops without an end at verse 31. Paul proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with boldness and without hindrance. A leading quality in the Spirit-led church of Acts is a church speaking boldly. Now, what does that mean to speak boldly? Well, for some, that means with anger, with confrontation. That's bold. For some, it means brazen and obnoxious and inappropriate. That's bold. For some, it means loud and in your face. Bold. So I ask myself, what is the Greek word used here? The Greek word is parousia. So I looked up parousia in my 3-volume Colin Brown Dictionary of the Greek New Testament. And the word is used to describe talk that is free, open, and frank. Not angry, not loud, not obnoxious. Paul is speaking clearly. He's speaking freely. He's speaking confidently. He's speaking forthrightly. He's speaking frankly. And apparently speaking with appeal and interest, speaking to a need, because people were streaming to his door voluntarily, wanting to hear what he had to say. What if Paul had never spoken boldly? What if after all he'd been through, what if he just decided, to quit? I mean, who could have blamed him? But Paul, under arrest, awaiting the emperor, spoke boldly and without hindrance. And the story ends with that. That's no ending. No, it isn't. What if that small, isolated congregation of about 120 people meeting in the upper room in Jerusalem had simply decided, what we have here is a good thing. It may not last, but it's a good thing. Why upset a good thing? Why be something different? Let's enjoy what we have while we have it. What if they had never ventured out of that upper room. What if the 16th century Anabaptist reformers had decided to keep to themselves? You know, we know what our convictions are. We know what we believe. And it's not like most people. Let's just live this out among ourselves. No need to try to change the world. But if you know Anabaptism, you know they could not keep quiet even when it was in their best interest to do so. They were nothing if they were not evangelists. And the movement spread like wildfire. What if they had just kept to themselves? This past week has been a good week. I got to tell you, lately I've been feeling a little discouraged, feeling like maybe our work this past year hasn't really made much difference, hasn't really gained a lot of traction. But this past week has been a good week. Last Sunday evening, a group of us got together for an open conversation. Open, I guess that's bold, right? An open conversation about the church, about our future, about where we're going. It was a good time. And I couldn't help but be impressed by both an awareness of the urgency of our circumstances, urgency, but not defeat. There was a positive attitude present. Tuesday morning, the church board met. And again, an awareness that the congregation faces a limited window for action, but a window, an opportunity. And I sensed that there was a readiness in the church board to lead us into that opportunity. Wednesday evening, the deacon caregivers met. There are 5 people on that commission this year. Now, how cool is that? LaVon, Randall, Kyle, Sarita, and Arnett. Committed to strengthening our care for each other, caring for each other, so that the back door is closed. And then Friday morning, the new Christian Ed Commission met. Donna, Dale, and Cora. What a neat group of creativity and enthusiasm, ready to explore and to try new ideas for all ages. And pretty soon they'll be inviting you to do the same. It's been a good week. It's been a good week. I feel encouraged. What if God just might be able to use us, to use this congregation to do something new? To give us a new mission, a new ministry, a new vision, a new future, a new chapter with the next pastor. What if? A leading quality of the Spirit-led Church of Acts is speaking boldly. What if Martin Luther King had never told us about the dream? I mean, why bother? It will never happen anyway. What if the Jerusalem congregation had never left the upper room? After all, we'll probably never make it out of Jerusalem, let alone go to Rome. What if Paul had just settled into a quiet house arrest and wrote his memoirs? After all, He'd done enough. Relax in the little time you have left. Or what if God has a different vision for us? And we said yes. What if? Let's pray. God, the prophet spoke that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what you have prepared for us. What if we dared to believe that? As you led your church of old out of the upper room to the doorstep of the emperor, so you lead us today. And we have the possibility of saying yes to that. Lead us, God, because of Christ and through Christ. Amen.